Week 38 is here and the chart says it might be a very bad week for Nasdaq. And in the $1,000 challenge, Tetra is so far up, more than 5% last week. So we are well into the green. Will we be able to continue that? As market, as I said, may stand for a bigger fall ahead of us. You're listening to the StockInvest.us podcast Trading Tips with Jim, and I will guide you through what I think will happen in the market in the week ahead of us. At the end of the podcast, we will have a quick look at my $1,000 challenge where I try to grow $1,000 as fast as I can. And as I said, so far we are in the green. It was a bit bumpy start, but it seems like we are on the right track now. And I will dive into a few other items as well, and hopefully there will be something you can learn from this podcast when it comes to technical analysis. And I love technical analysis. I think it's a very, very good choice when you make decisions to have a look at charts. Try to see what the charts tell you, because a lot of information is hidden in the charts. But we cannot avoid fundamental information. We know that the fundamentals are painting the long-term picture. No chart will give you a strong idea about the future. It can give you some idea, but the fundamentals will do better doing that. Technical analysis is a very good tool for when you should buy and sell. Try pinpoint the buy and sell, and of course it gives some idea about the further direction. And let's just start straight off. I told you many weeks ago, I thought now it'll be green weeks. I said that 2 weeks in a row we were hitting green weeks. Then I said I think it'll be a red week, and we hit the red week. And last week I also told you I thought it would be a red week, but it was not very red. Nasdaq only down 0.4% last week, ending the week at 13,708, really struggling with 14,000. Dow Jones actually had a positive week, up 0.12% for Dow Jones, ending at 34,618 points. The week was very bumpy. It was a good week for traders, but this week I think it might be more red. Last week I told you we are getting close to a place where there will be a buying opportunity. The big question is, will there be a sell-off before that buying opportunity is present? And I think that sell-off is about to happen or already happened. So it might be, despite what I'm saying, it might be a good week at Nasdaq. For sure, it will be volatile. My strong guess is it will be a negative week, that we will have some strong sells. And then there will be super buying opportunities in the short-term picture. So what are the things this week that can make market change direction, either for good or bad? Well, first off, we are in a slight negative market. You have to remember that. So there is a slight negative sentiment in the market. So what are the things that can push it up to positive? One thing that can push it up to positive is if the market is too negative. But so far, the market is not too negative. As you know, I like to look at how many buy and sell signals are given in the market. And if these are very low, the amount of buy signals is very low, it's usually a good buying opportunity. And that brings us to the very first lesson, a lesson I tried to teach a friend as we were driving off to a big metal detecting event this weekend. And he is a new investor into stocks. We had a small chat around this, how you trade and what you look for and everything. And the one thing I said is that in general, you want to, as a main rule, you want to buy when everyone is selling and sell when everyone is buying. Of course, this is not like that easy, but it's a general principle. You just have to buy at the end of the selling period and sell at the end of the buying period. And for these things, I love, for instance, using relative strength index. It's a measure really good as such, telling you when markets are getting too high or too low. They get either overbought or oversold. Such an easy instrument to use. Just go to stockinvest.us, type in the ticker of your company or the company you're interested in, look at the chart, And beneath the chart, there will be an RSI line. Even in the chart, we have colored the price line. If it's colored red, it means that the price is overbought on the relative strength index. There's a huge chance that it will have a correction back or at least move sideways. The other thing is looking at this is in a really big picture with all the buy and sell signals from our system. More than 38,000 tickers are washed every day to the system, but some 26 are qualified for these signals, 26,000 tickers. And right now, 32 of them say buy. Last week was 29, so it was crawling a little bit up. But it was not mainly US that caused that. It was many places in Asian Stock Exchange had an uptick in buy signals. For instance, Tokyo went up from 43 to 48% buy signals. If we go to the US markets, and most of your listeners are from US, Nasdaq fell from 17 to 16% buy signals. This is very low indeed. Last time I said that it was a super buying opportunity, Nasdaq was down at 14. But if you rewind back many podcasts ago, you have to remember I've done this for 4 years now. This is the fourth year I'm giving you these podcasts. Then we had that preparation when Nasdaq was 17, 16, if I remember correct. I said that it's getting oversold, but in this period it can fall even faster. That is the thing with overbought, that is the thing with oversold. You expect high volatility in these periods, and it can go from very good to really good or from bad to really bad very fast when signals are this low. In general, you like them to be up at 25-30. That will cause or signal a more steady journey. So we are in a volatile period, and for Nasdaq we are clearly getting close to good buying opportunities for sure. The question is, will we have a final sell-off before we hit that buy signal? I will argue a little bit more before I tell you my exact opinion in the case, but going to New York Stock Exchange, for instance, it increased from 21 to 23% buy signals. A little bit more steady on New York Stock Exchange. London, 30%, while Tokyo is at 48, very high at Tokyo, and I expect to see a fall in Tokyo. Chess in China is at 18, down from 23. So from a buy signal point of view, looking, and this is the technical picture, so we see there is an opportunity at Nasdaq, but what can cause things to go direction? And usually I look at fundamental things, and what are the fundamentals that can push the markets? Mainly it is big news, and the only really big news this week is Fed will speak on Wednesday, but Fed will just say what I've been saying for a long time. Interest rates has to continue upwards, and the speak on Wednesday is, I think, the market has accumulated for the news. They are already expecting Fed to say the same thing I say, that we will have to increase interest rates. But the one thing that we disagree about is that I think it will have to go much further. Everyone said that, well, we are at the top now, and I said, no, we are not. We have to go up much more. It went up much more. Everyone says that now we are at the top. Maybe there will be one more hike this year. So that's the consensus for the market, that there is one more hike during this year before we can start to cut interest rates again. Personally, I do not think that will be the case. I think there will be more, maybe as much as 3 interest strikes this year. And the argument for that is the same which I've been using for so long time. Oil. And I told you, invest into oil. Oil is creeping up. Last week, it crawled above $90 again. Currently trading at $91, up $4 last week, or 4%, 4.4% for the oil. And I think oil will just continue to push upwards. We're heading into a colder part of the season. OPEC cuts are really starting to churn in. And China is not as bad as everyone tried to paint the picture of bad economy in China. And the latest numbers tell the same thing. It's not as bad. On top of this, we have EU. We have, of course, US. Pumping money into governmental sector, keeping the buying pressure up. So the buying pressure is still in the market. There is no reason why it should suddenly start to collapse. And if you have less oil produced and the demand is equally strong, or will be stronger because of the winter season we are heading into, everything argues for oil to go further up. But there is one more thing on that agenda, which I have been mentioning. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when I first said that the Taiwan conflict will come up in 2023, and in my opinion it was to be in the first half of 2023, but we passed first half, so I was wrong on that. But everything is indicating that Taiwan conflict is coming up, and it might even come up as a hotshot this week. News indicate that China is mobilizing parts of their army, pushing it closer to Taiwan borders on the mainland side of China. And they are increasing their frequencies of patrolling around Taiwan. US have buried themselves deep into a huge conflict with China. It was oral for quite some time, bad-mouthing, and then it went into trade agreements, and now it's the chip question, Taiwan being the biggest chip producer of them all. And US is trying to prevent China from having access to chips to develop AI, because we know AI will not only change the way that we work, speak, and interact, and how we solve our daily problems. AI is also a phenomenal weapon for the war industry. AI can control things faster and in bigger scale than any human can be ever to do. It can make decisions by itself based on its programming, and this we will see coming in huge waves as we move forwards. Either it's drones, we already see it in drones, but also robot technology is moving very fast, and when you pair this with AI, where they start to make their own decisions to increase their compatibility, of course everyone fears that AI can give the upper hand also in the military. I read some small news that AI is already implemented in the Ukraine war for testing purposes, but for sure. So this is one of the arguments, but all of these conflicts and all of these sanctions against Russia, they just did exactly what I told you. They would split the West and the East. They will cause more harm than good. The intention is good. Yes, it's really good, but the effect will not be as they thought. Everyone thought that we will crumble Russia with these sanctions within half a year. They will have to crawl on their knees. But what happened was exactly what I said. Now they will just group in the East against the West. There will be a huge divide. So we have BRICS on one side, which is growing insanely strong at a huge pace. And we have the West, which is getting more isolated from Asia. And when economies go down, usually the way to solve it, and when your internal politics are really going south, is to wage some wars. It's been the game of politics for as long as anyone can remember. If there are internal struggles, then war is the solution. Sadly, now it seems like it will not be contained to the Ukraine conflict. There is more brewing, and the question is, how will Taiwan be solved the day China decides to do what they have been saying for endless amount of years? They think of Taiwan as a part of China. They don't want to intervene with anything in China unless the Western world do things in Taiwan they disapprove to. And as I mentioned, there has been lots of conflicts around this, and Taiwan is signaling that they want to belong to the West. US said that it supports Taiwan. If anything happens, it will support Taiwan. And China made everything clear, and we have all these other geopolitical things happening at the same time. Now is the right time for China to attack Taiwan. Use it when countries are weak. As you know, US emptied a huge part of the strategic oil reserves. And as far as I know, these have not been bunkered up yet. They've not been refilled yet. And the Ukraine war has drained the Western world for ammunition. We sent all spare ammunition that we have, and even more. Our production is lagging. The war locomotive is going as fast as it can. That was why I told you, invest into war-related items, because there will be such huge money, and the money is just flowing into the war sector. There was three sectors I told you, oil, gold, and war. That's where you will have your safe money, your safe growth. And so far, it's really showing to be exactly that. Now, things are signaling that Taiwan might be hot this week, that there might be some very negative news surrounding China, Taiwan, China and US, and that can cause a huge fall in the market. This is a little bit long lines, this is a little bit outside the scope, but you have to understand, if these news comes, the stock market can be in as good shape as it wants, but it will take the fear immediately. And Nasdaq being down at 16% buy signals, already full of fear. Many seen their losses, for instance, in Nvidia, where Nvidia was topping and now has been falling a little bit. Starting to see, for those who bought very late in the game, AI game, are starting to scare because the loss are starting to be good. Maybe a lot of commercial for this podcast, but you heard it in this podcast. I told you AI is topping out. Maybe take profit. You heard me say that as well. And there will be a new buying opportunity in AI very soon. But first, you have to understand that a lot of companies, they will not be able to convert what they do into an actual cash flow. Many reasons for this. First off, it's not as commercial as you think. And the other thing is the huge amount of competitors that pops up everywhere and that pushes prices down. And when prices go down and you have a huge infrastructure of employees, etc., the profit margins will not be as high as the PE for the stock, meaning that the price eventually will have to go down to match a more reasonable PE price earning that is. So, back to the trying to conclude about the week ahead of us. Oil, as I said, $91 crawling upwards. That means a good week for oil stocks, most likely, or at least it will remain strong. Gold is also crawling up, but very little. $1 last week to 1950. The reason why it's not crawling faster is because the dollar is slightly strengthening. It's been strengthening against, for instance, euro from, I think it was 110 to 107 now. So there is a little reason why the gold price is not moving as fast. But I believe, and I strongly believe, that gold will continue upwards. You heard me say it. I have hedged personally into gold, physical gold, as a hedge, because things may suddenly turn to the worst. The one number that we always keep an eye on, which is a super easy number, is the 10-year treasury yield. If that number goes up, the stock market will go down. Last week, it had a huge jump again, and now is topping all-time high in the last 20 years or whatever it is, at 4.32, up 1.5% last week for the 10-year treasury yield. When it goes up, market usually go down, and that may just be the case. But trying to get to that final conclusion, what will the B week be like? And we do understand that if the stock market will go down, it will be hard to make money unless you are in the right sector. So just knowing what kind of way the market will most likely go gives you an opportunity to at least change your portfolio a little bit, or restructure, or maybe rethink if you want to invest, to when it's a much better position. Reduce your risk is the game. If you look at the chart, you can go to stockinvest.us and type in the ticker ICSIC, that is for Nasdaq Composite Index, and right now, there has been issued a strong sell signal from the long-term moving average crossing the short-term moving average, also referred to as a dead cross. Volume increasing very much last week, could hopefully be a sell-off. It will be interesting week for sure, because as we speak, Nasdaq has some strong support under today's level. But if 13,600 is broken, the support is much less, and you can expect a much faster fall. So either Nasdaq has to bounce up from where it is today, Naturally, it should, at least for a few hours, maybe even the day today. The problem is that when it goes up, it faces first resistance at 13,800, later at 13,900, then 14,000. So there is tons of resistance above. On top of this, relative strength index is not very low. So it's not a classical buying opportunity. If we go back to August 20-ish, Nasdaq was oversold. That was when I say it's time to buy for sure. Nasdaq was oversold at 16 and went up from about 13,300 to almost 14,100. So it had almost 800 points jump. For the week ahead of us, I think sadly it will be a red week. I will not be surprised if the first 2 days are green, or at least trying to be green. I expect high volatility this week. I think it may be very red. I think that when we get to the end of the week, I am prepared to see Nasdaq at 13,500. In best case, Nasdaq bounces up today, start to gain some momentum, that we had a sell-off on Thursday and Friday, and that sell-off is like a sell-off should be, turning the tide, and we get on an uptick. I would watch Wednesday and the Fed talk, because if Fed says that, or we might go above the one predicted interest rate hikes, market will take it very bad. So Wednesday, I for sure will put an eye on the market. Red week will be a hard week. Nasdaq has a low amount of buy signals. That just means that several cases on Nasdaq is a good buying opportunity as we speak. If you are to find them, I would do the following. I would look for stocks who are getting close to being oversold or oversold on the relative strength index. Make sure that they are in not too negative trend, because if things are in a negative trend, it is not the kind of case that you usually do want to invest to. Horizontal or slightly increasing or increasing trend is the super place to be. And if the stock is at the lower end of the trend being oversold, and there is not too many of these gray bars on the right-hand side, which is accumulated volume, I would invest into the stock, because there is a huge, huge chance that many stocks in Nasdaq, despite Nasdaq going down, will go up. I remain steady on three sectors: oil, gold, and war. I think these can hedge good in uncertain times, meaning that maybe you should have a part of your portfolio in these stocks, and you can be a little bit more heavy on the risky stocks with the rest of the money. Talking about risking stocks, we are at the end of the podcast. We'll talk about the $1,000 challenge before we will head into the new week. And what about the $1,000 challenge? So we started off with Intercept, and the Intercept trade was not the best. I was too early. I even mentioned that I thought I was too early. Happy to see that Intercept now is way above what when we got in. But into Intercept, out of Intercept into Hawaiian Electric, we managed to turn that ship, make money on it. And last week, I went into Tetra Technologies Inc. I said to the following. Our strategy is to pick those who have been falling very hard, getting oversold with increasing volume. So we have a clear sell-off. That will be the main strategy. But last week I told you, I think it will be a red week, and I do not want to be overexposed if it's a red week. So I will try the other end of the strategy, which means that we buy stocks who are in the right type of sector. Has no resistance above, good support below, because if things go really south, there is so much support below, people are hesitant to sell, and your stock will not fall as much as the market. And with no resistance above, if things go correct, like I was correct last week about oil continuing up, Tetra Technologies Inc. just pushed upwards. I was lucky to get in on Tetra Inc. on Monday at 6.11, currently sitting at 6.46 or 6.43. It's up more than 5% last week. So indeed, good choice. Thing is, I still have Tetra, and I will have Tetra for the week ahead of us. I expect it to be a little bumpy. Right? It might be that I will go out of Tetra. What I will do now is I will tighten my stop loss. I had a little wide stop loss in the end. Now I will tighten a little bit, but Tetra is also moving a lot during intraday. So you have to be careful how much you know. I bought it at 611, 599, and it will be sold. That will be my final stop loss. And being 643, I need a stop loss that can handle that that swing. So I'll calculate the percentages down to 699. Should be what? It should be some 7% maybe. So I'll put my stop loss there. I'll put a trailing stop loss. So if the stock just continue upwards, we move upwards from the 599 level. If it goes for 599, it will be a slight loss, but we can handle that. Nobody knows where the week will go. But I think there is more upside in Tetra Technologies, and I will use the time to try to find some really good scoops. And to combine all the things I said I think it might be a sell-off week. Yet a sell-off week for Nasdaq. We are getting really close to good buying opportunities at Nasdaq. So I will use the week trying to find these stocks, which I think will benefit from the reaction up when it comes at Nasdaq. So I will have it clear. I might post it on the YouTube videos, the new candidates. But as I promised to you, and the way we've done this podcast always, I will not buy the stock before you know exactly what I buy. So I will maybe sell Tetra this week, but I will not invest anything in for the $1,000 challenge, which now, by the way, I think is up 17%. I will inform you next Monday which stocks, if Tetra is sold, which stock I will invest into, so you can follow my trades in absolutely real time. It's not optical way to do things. Absolutely not, because you should seize the opportunity when it's there, but for the sake of the $1,000 challenge. And every week I see one candidate after the other, good opportunities, some I pick up trade on. And if you do the same, do remember, and you try to do the same tactic of buying those who are oversold. Remember not to be greedy. You are only after the natural reaction up, because most of these stocks will continue downwards. You are just after hitting whatever it is, 1 to 10% depending what the swing is. That is what you will try to get out of it. You're just in, you're out. This is a trading portfolio. Comes with high risk, and you have to think one time, two times, three times, even 20 times before you do things. What I do is not necessarily the correct thing. So far, I've been on the track. We are beating Nasdaq by far so far, but I aim to grow the portfolio much, much higher. If you're interested to see if I succeed, you'll have to come back to the podcast, and you'll find it on Spotify, you'll find it on YouTube to check out how I'm doing. You're more than happy, you're more than welcome to comment on the video. Ask me questions, I'll try to answer them as best as I can. And on an end note, I usually tell you what I do on the side, and especially tell you a little bit about my metal detecting. I love metal detecting, and this weekend I was lucky to be with the Mink team, metal detecting team in Lithuania, close to the Latvian border, together with archaeologists. I started the day after 2 minutes. I find a beautiful brooch. Archaeologist says that it's probably from the 15th, 16th century, made in silver. I might post, cannot promise, but maybe I will post videos on the YouTube videos or the find. So I started instantly off with a super strong signal on the detector, and this item will go to Pasvalys Museum in Litauen, where everyone can enjoy that beautiful find. I was lucky, but someone was even more lucky. As we moved on the field on that same first hour, someone hit a good signal and dig up a silver bracelet. But under the silver bracelet, there was much more. We were, the team and the lucky guy, together with a few others, when the archaeologists, when they started to dig around that place, discovered a silver treasure which only be found one time before in Lithuania. So it wasn't indeed an exciting week at all. The silver treasure was not, by the way, coins. It was fragments. It's called payment silver. It's how they used to pay with silver before coins was the real deal. They made chunks of steel at certain weight, and that was how they used to pay for transaction. And we were able to find one of these treasures, along with a lot of other nice finds, of course. So I start the week on a very good note, and I hope you do the same. I hope when we get back here next week that you have had a super week outside trading. But of course, I hope that your portfolio will be much more green than when you started the week. And hopefully I will have you back next Monday. Until then, just have the absolute best of a week. Bye.